Well, welcome to the very first new episode of year two of the Got It From a Mama podcast. Well, we could all use a little humor in the new year. So my guest this week is Carol Bergazzi. She is the mama of one of my favorite comedians, Nate Bergazzi. He is literally known as the nicest guy in stand-up. His comedy is clean, it's relatable, and we love that his family is a big part of the humor. This year, Nate blew up in popularity, hosting Saturday Night Live and putting out his fourth televised comedy special. He is fantastic live, and his family might just be the most interesting that we've met yet. Spoiler alert, his dad is a professional magician. You are going to love this family. We're talking to Mom Carol today. Let's get started. So you are married to, I think people will find this fascinating, a magician slash professional clown. Your son is one of the most successful comedians in the country. Are you the sanity in the household?
Maybe. I mean, the question people always ask me is, y'all just laugh all the time? And I'm like, no, we don't. So, I mean, for years, we've been married 47 years. So we've been together 50, we met in 70.
If you ask Nate, though, he'll say his mama is the funniest person in the family.
He might. Yeah, I think he would. And my husband says it too. My dad was very funny, very witty, mm-hmm. but I'm not funny like go stand on stage or that kind of thing. I mean, when I worked, I would just make jokes. I called people nicknames. It's just something I always did. And I was always in the public working.
It came very naturally. So what did you do as a mom growing up? You worked professionally. You probably had the only job that actually had benefits and insurance and all of that, right?
I did. Because my husband did when we first married. Mm-hmm. And then he decided to go to college when he was 26.
Oh.
So Ronnie Bergazzi. A lot of people in Nashville know Ronnie. He's coached at Vanderbilt, Austin Peay. He's just a very well-known. He went to high school at Antioch, I think. Uh-huh. And so my husband moved here at 18 to live with him.
Oh.
And so Steve got a job and got his first paycheck and used all his money on a magic trick.
On a magic trick. And the whole paycheck.
Yes.
Were you guys together at the time?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I lived in Louisville.
Okay.
And he lived here. He moved here when he was 18 from Louisville to live with Ronnie.
How did you take that news that the whole paycheck was gone on a magic
trip?
Well,
you know, I was there. We were 18. He was living with Ronnie and Ronnie was trying to teach him, this is how you save money and you keep this much and you do whatever. And he spent all of it. And, you know, I don't think Ronnie thought that was smart. So he, I think, said like, hey, you can't, what are you going to do with that? You're never going to do anything with it.
Yeah.
And then Steve got that bug to be a magician from a friend who used to be the Ronald McDonald clown in Nashville.
He really played the role of Ronald McDonald?
He did.
Oh, okay.
He did. Tommy Hardy's passed away now, but he did. And so Steve got that bug and he started, you know, I think Nathan was 6 months old when Steve did his very first birthday party.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So not until Nate was born. And Nate's the first of three kids, right?
He is.
Two boys
yes.
and then your youngest daughter.
Yes,
daughter. And we were just having the best conversation about how it's almost a family affair. Like everybody kind of chips in, works together, whether it's helping with booking and the podcast and just all the things that come along
yes.
with the journey that Nate is on.
We just don't even know. I don't know. I don't know what to even think about it or say about it. Or God just keeps blessing him. And that's all we've asked for God to do. Just bless what he's doing. We ask that for all of our kids.
Yeah.
Please just bless their endeavors, what they do. And God does that. I mean,
the doors just keep
they
opening.
They do.
Yeah.
And every time he calls to tell us something, when he called us about Saturday Night Live, he FaceTimed us because he was out of town. And he said, is dad there?
Can you believe it?
No, we were like, what? What? You know, because what do you say to that?
Yeah, how do you top that in the world of comedy?
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And he will.
Yeah.
He will.
That's right.
He just keeps going. You know, Bridgestone was his, let me just get there. Let me just get.
Yeah, it's like setting a new goal mm-hmm. every time.
And he's selling arenas out now, and it's just, it's just crazy. All of us are just. You know, my middle son, Derek, his brother, they're 3 years apart in age. And so Foo Fighters, which, you know, when they were going to be on Saturday Night Live with him, well, Derek, Abby did too, went crazy. Well, Derek just went real, like, are you kidding me? You know,
it's he was as excited about the mm-hmm, Foo Fighters being on the show with his brother, right?
Yes. So
oh,
it's just
goodness.
been a, It's been 20 years though.
Yeah.
Coming.
Yeah.
20 years.
And that's the thing. It's not like, you know, people want to associate overnight success, you know, when yes. they're like, oh, I've never heard of this guy. And now he's hosting Saturday Night Live. But what you know as mom is you've seen the 20 years of yes. cutting his teeth, of the hard work, of all of that.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. I wanted to go back though to Stephen. When you met your husband, mm-hmm. who ended up making a career out of being a magician and a clown and all the things.
Yes.
What were his career goals then? What did you think your life was going to look like?
We didn't really have any.
You were so young.
We got married at 20 and it just, you just don't think. We weren't thinking past that. We never thought about college. We never thought about any of that stuff. We worked, lived paycheck to paycheck. And then we're like, well, I guess it's time to start having kids. And we started having kids. And when Nathan was 6 months old, Steve decided to go to college.
Uh-huh. What was he going to study?
He was going to be a preacher.
Really?
When he first went, he thought, well, I'll preach. Because he was a pretty new Christian. I was a new Christian. I got saved at the Billy Graham Crusade that was here.
Did
you really? In 1978. I was pregnant with Nathan.
Wow.
And Steve became a Christian a little before that. Not at Billy. He was working the Billy Graham Crusade.
Yeah.
But he had already become a Christian.
Okay.
And so he's like, well, I think God's calling me to preach. And so we went to Trevecca and somebody commented about it. He has a speech impediment.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bit by a dog when he was two.
Oh, is that what causes the speech impediment?
Yes. And so he has a big part of his face, I think, was just, I've seen pictures, and it was just bit off.
Yeah.
And so he had to have surgeries and all that. So that gives him a little bit of that speech impediment. Okay. And somebody commented, well, you don't really have a speaking voice, so you might not want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were new, we didn't know. So Steve changed and became elementary ed.
Oh, okay.
He always laughs. Okay. He said, so I spit on kids instead.
Nobody pointed him toward the story in the Bible where God will take care of that.
That's right. No, nobody had pointed that story to him. He went to Trevecca and did great. We had Nathan. And then when Nathan was three that summer, Steve was a sophomore going to his junior year, we had Derek.
Did you have your daughter once you were back in Nashville?
We were here for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And we bought our first house, a little bitty old 800 square foot house in Old Hickory in the Village.
Oh my goodness.
When we had her, and we all just lived in there, plus all that magic and all that clown.
And even in your home today, there's a whole room dedicated to your husband's magic.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. The magic
room. Everywhere. The magic room. We always have always called it the
magic
room.
You've always called it that?
Mm-hmm.
So his hobby of magic turned into a business when he did his first birthday party.
It did.
And how old was Nate?
He was 6 months old.
Okay.
And I have a picture of Steve standing behind him in his clown. And Nathan's in a metal swing because that's what they were, the kind that
you crank.
You crank him
yes.
and you're like, oh, I got to crank this swing and he's going to wake up. So he's in his metal swing and Steve's standing behind him in his makeup and his clown outfit.
One of my, there's so many favorite things from Nate's different, you know, routines and shows and everything. But I love it when he was like, I didn't know being a clown or a magician. I thought every dad put on a clown suit and went to work. Like, it just seemed so normal to him.
Yes, because he drove around like that.
Yeah.
They didn't even think anything back then when they were little. How cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, and we'll go ride with my dad to a show. Nathan went to a couple shows when he was little, helped him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the joke, one of the jokes is true. Steve pulled up one day at Trevecca. Derek was two. Nathan was five. And Steve pulls up after having a show, and the Easter Bunny was in the car with him.
And the Easter Bunny, like, I just thought that was normal.
The Easter Bunny's head's all out the window because his ears wouldn't fit, you know. And that stuff's all true. I have pictures of it. It all really happened.
One of the things we were talking about before we started was I said, you know, some of the stories that I wanted to ask you about that Nate tells in his shows, you know, you just assume that comedians are going to take some liberty. Maybe there's a little part of it that happened, but how much of it is exaggerated to get the laugh or whatever.
Right.
But as mom, you're like, nope, really not a whole lot of that going on in the things that he shares, right?
No, it all happened. I mean, I don't know that he has any liberty. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that happens. And it's just, we're just used to that. My kids thought nothing about walking around and finding like a rubber brain because Steve used it in a magic trick somewhere and Steve wasn't the best about putting his things away. So stuff was everywhere.
It was
coins
just
and cards.
Normal life to you guys.
Yes. Yes.
That is fascinating.
It's still, I think nothing of it.
Yeah. Tell me about Nate as a child. What was his personality like? Was he a funny kid? I mean, his sense of humor is so dry that I'm trying to picture what little Nate would have been like.
He was funny. I didn't think growing up, I bet he does stand up. Like, I'll look at Nathan's daughter now, Harper, and she is so animated. And I'm like, she is going to do something. You know, I can look at all my grandkids and kind of think, see their parents in them and kind of know. But when you're raising your kids, they're not always that funny. And you're like, well, I don't think that was very fun. You know, jokes or stuff or whatever they do. But he would do little programs at church. Like, he would be involved in a church program. My husband and our best friends, the Dentons, Steve and Wayne Denton, would do a clown thing at school. Temple Baptist Church in Old Hickory. They were Ned and Jed.
Uh-huh.
And they did these whole skits. Well, Nathan would be in several of them. And so he liked doing that kind of stuff. But
he felt comfortable on the stage.
Yeah,
and
he wasn't
it.
In a play, or I don't remember him. He was in one play at DCA in high school.
Okay.
But it wasn't like he was in drama class or...
He wasn't doing stand-up at 12 years old or anything that you saw that would have been like, this is the
path. To make me think,
where
my grandson, our 16-year-old grandson, does a little bit of comedy.
Oh, really?
And he opened at Zany's when he was 12, did a little thing in front of Nathan's show, and did something last week at a... Just trying to get, he's got a class at school he takes.
Yeah.
So I can see where he's going with that, but it's just because of Nathan.
What were his interests in high school? Like, was he into sports or plays?
He
or?
Loved sports, but he never really tried out for sports, mm-hmm. but he always got cut from the basketball team. It always just broke my heart.
Sorry, Nate, like that your mom's telling on you there.
Oh, he probably would tell you that. Anyway. He would do that, and then he got most school spirit.
Okay.
So he would paint his face every football game and all that. They won the state championship when he was a senior. So he had a lot of fun. They played a lot of pickup ball, a lot of church ball. He talks about that in his things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd play basketball outside in the yard. So they were always played ball at Rotary Park in Hermitage from little to 13 or 14.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So always involved in all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
More than schools, more than academics.
He was trying, that sounds familiar. You know, once he kind of started doing the stand up on the side and those kind of things, what are the jobs that he had, you know, as maybe an older teenager or in the early days trying to make it work?
Growing up, he worked at Hermitage Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
Because we lived right up the street and he would just walk to work. And then he worked at Opryland theme park.
Oh, the theme
park.
He was a sweeper. What did he do?
He was a sweeper.
Oh.
Yep. When he was like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did all that kind of stuff to earn money. But now when he moved Chicago, he was a server. When he moved to New York, he was a dog walker.
Oh.
He was a FedEx driver. He did all that, anything to, you had to make money. You had to pay your rent.
For sure. Yeah.
And then, but he would go to 6 or 7, 8 comedy clubs a night.
Wow.
And you stand out in front of the club and I've learned all this. You do what's called, you bark. And that's, if you've ever been to New York, you walk down the street and somebody hands you a card. Come see this show.
That's and called barking. Okay.
You did that and then you would get 2 minutes on stage.
Okay.
And he would do 7 nights a week.
Wow. Just trying to get in the door to do a couple minutes on stage.
Yes.
Wow. And
he
I think that that's a part of his story that, you know, now he has so many new fans who discovered him either through SNL or some of the big things, the streaming and all of that have blown up for him. But they may not realize how hard and how long he had been working at this. Did he go to college? Did he do a traditional?
He went to Vol State.
Okay.
For maybe a semester, not long. And then he went to Western.
Okay.
And for a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And he flunked bowling, which when he flunked bowling, my mother-in-law, she was practically a professional bowler. Bowling was in my husband's family.
Okay.
Her father is in the Kentucky Hall of Fame for bowling. She is in the Kentucky Hall of Fame for bowling. Only father-daughter team in there. And so then he flunks bowling, so...
How do you flunk bowling?
You don't go.
You just don't show up.
You don't show up. And it was an 8 a.m. class. So we're like, well, we're not.
That was the first problem. It was an 8 a.m. class.
Exactly. So we're like, we're not, you're not doing, you can't. You can't do this.
Yeah.
And so we got a job at the water company in Mount Juliet.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
He's going to.
Work his way up through
fence.
The water company.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Have a normal 9-to-5.
Yes, I was so excited. Insurance, everything.
Yeah.
And my mother always said, take the civil service test. She told all of us that.
Really?
Just take the civil service test. My grandfather worked as a civil service guy for military.
Uh-huh.
So she just always told us to do that. And so I'm like, well, look, he's got a civil service job, kind of. So he'll, what a wonderful life he'll have.
Yeah, exactly.
And then.
And that stability probably sounded really good to you.
Oh, it
right?
sounded great to me.
Because you guys had some rough times.
Yeah, we just lived paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, and you're trying to probably stuck as a wife a little bit and wanting your husband to pursue his passions and enjoy his job and enjoy entertaining. But at the end of the day, you had three kids to feed.
Yes.
You had, you know, college ahead, all the things. So I'm sure that anything that looked like a good, stable, like you said, white picket fence type career sounded good.
Right. Not that I ever was raised with a white picket fence, but that's what you want for your kids.
For sure.
Anyway, own a home. And so, but he went there and he met, you know, just talking, blah, 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 him and a buddy. And then he was like, well, maybe I'll move to Chicago. And then he got friends with Michael Clay, who worked at the water company. And he said, let's move to Chicago. And I mean, they did.
And they did. They picked up and they went.
They moved.
So when he went to Chicago, we associate that with a big comedy club there called Second City.
Yes.
It's improv.
Mm-hmm.
It's where a lot of people who end up on SNL as a regular have cut their teeth.
Right.
And so he kind of went that route for a little bit,
He did.
And what was the goal for him? To be a stand-up that toured and traveled? Or did he want a gig like an SNL character?
I don't know that he knew when he went there what he would want, because he went to Second City first.
Yeah.
He took a class at Second City. We paid for him to take a class at Second City. And then I think then he realized, and you had to do it and do your bit and all that and graduate.
Yeah, it's a whole program,
right?
It is.
And he did it.
Were you reluctant to pay for that when you wanted the white picket fence for him?
No.
Okay.
No.
At that point,
we said, that's what you want to do. You go do it.
I love that.
No, we never said, oh, don't quit your job. Oh, don't. We said, no, go. And of course, my husband was
all for it, right?
Because my husband's a comedic magician.
Yes.
So he was like, yeah, go. And I think Steve's kind of grew up with Nathan as far as his stuff went too. He quit being the clown and then became more of a magician. And, you know, Steve taught school for 10 years though.
But he did teach.
Yes. Okay. And what a great teacher.
Yeah.
They loved him.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Mr. B.
How much fun would it be to have Mr. B.
And
the
he did magic
magician
all the time.
For a teacher. What subject did he teach?
He taught history and math.
Okay.
That's and he was very good at it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there whose lives he impacted as a
lot
teacher.
Of kids. And then he got the opportunity to go work for TSSAA, the Tennessee Secondary Schools. And he was the program was called the Right Team.
Uh-huh.
Ronnie Bargatze had done it before Steve, and then he was stopping. So Steve took it, and Steve did drugs and alcohol program. No drug, no alcohol programs. But he did it with magic.
Oh wow!
So he spoke to over 1 million kids.
That's amazing.
He retired a year ago.
Kudos to him. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
great
he did
work.
That.
Yeah.
So Nathan saw his dad doing all that.
And he ended up in New York and he did that for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And this is what you were talking about. Like just even to get those 2 minutes on stage to do a routine. What do you remember about those days and how difficult that was?
I know he was out really late and then you have to get up and go to work because a comedian's life is at night.
Mm-hmm. He had to have a normal job during the day, I would assume.
Yeah, he did. He
just to pay for rent in New York.
Walked dogs or, you know, like I said, drove for FedEx. And I remember it'd be snowing. He'd be calling me and he'd be in all these snowy roads and back roads and all that kind of stuff. And then he'd host a show somewhere and make, you know, $100.
Mm-hmm.
And we supported him as much as we could. I opened him a bank account and we would just try to give him as much money as we could give him. They left New York. He thought, well, if I can do it here, then I can do maybe a sitcom, maybe something in LA.
Okay.
So he moved to LA.
So even that was chasing the dream.
It was.
Still going in California. So Chicago, New York, California, just knocking on doors.
Yep, and Laura,
and waiting
bless her
on.
Heart, just went with, right along with him. Never said a word. She said, I'm in it.
Wow.
And she did it.
That's pretty awesome.
It's not easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's very hard.
So when we kind of think about it, it's really been, would you say the last 4 to 5 years that things have started picking up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, really have.
And what in your, from a mom's perspective, would you say was the change or what was the difference maker
for him? You know,
you
get all these things. You get, he filmed a sitcom. I mean, we had to send pictures. It was our whole family where the kitchen was set up for Steve and I. The parents were like Steve and I.
So the sitcom was based around him.
It was.
Oh.
He was going to be work in a golf shop and try to be a comedian, if I have all that right.
Yeah. Something like that.
I'm an old lady and I forget things. But,
but there were people playing you and your husband.
They filmed it and everything, but then they didn't pick it up.
Yeah, that happened.
So he lived in LA for a whole summer.
Wow.
While they were here because of that.
Yeah, working on
that. Yeah, sitcoms. He's had two or three, but he met Jimmy Fallon at the Comedy Cellar one night. And
that's
Nathan
in New York?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm,
a pretty big club. Mm-hmm. And when he got to go to the Comedy Cellar, it was he would call and go, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to the Comedy Cellar. Dave Chappelle's there." And it was crazy. Just the people he would see. And so he met Jimmy Fallon.
Had he performed and Jimmy Fallon saw him perform?
Jimmy Fallon just came downstairs where they were all sitting downstairs. He didn't see Nathan perform. I don't think he saw Nathan perform, but they met.
Okay.
And a year later, Jimmy Fallon called him.
To invite him on the show?
To invite him, yes. He's been following his stuff and said, hey, because Nathan's been on there 11 times.
Oh, my goodness, 11 times
11
now.
Times.
And Jimmy himself
he
called
pretty
Nate
much gave him the break.
And gave him a break.
Yes, put him on that show.
That was the difference
maker. You know, and he didn't go to the couch at the beginning. Probably, and I'm guessing at these times, but probably 7 or 8 years he'd go on there and do. It's every time he had a new special. Fallon. So 2015 was Yelled at by a Clown. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was Tennessee Kid. And then Hello World was just
the most recent.
Came out in January.
Yeah. Yes. So those were big breaks. Did you ever go up to see him perform on Jimmy Fallon?
We didn't. We went with him to the Clean Comedy Tour. That's where he asked Nathan to come. That's what it was. He was going on tour. The Clean Comedy Tour, and he asked Nathan to come on tour with him.
Oh, with Jimmy?
Yes.
Oh,
and so
okay.
We drove to Atlanta and went to the Clean Comedy Tour.
Okay.
And Nathan opened for him.
Yeah. And
so
I'm
that was
sure
a pretty
at the
big
time, you
deal.
Felt like that was really big.
Yeah,
right?
And you haven't your credits.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, oh, this is it. But every time he got a sitcom, we were like, this is it. This is it. If the show goes, that was our big run and tag with the whole family. Well, if the show goes, this would happen, this would happen, this would happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at rootsmusicrambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
But God had other plans.
Right. When you look at those "this is it" moments and you think about so many that have happened, even in the last 6 months or so.
Yes, this year.
Could you have even imagined those "this is it" moments?
No. You know, we trusted God to do, but not at this. God has the blessings on our whole family.
Mm-hmm. It all goes just back been, to more than we can ask or imagine, right?
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
That's what,
it does.
What God gives us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what Steve said at Bridgestone.
Yeah.
He said, all of this is God. Mm-hmm. And it is. And we know that.
Yeah.
And we are very thankful for it because the more he's blessed, the more he blesses others. The more he's blessed, the more he blesses us. We bless others. You know, our whole family can get involved and do it. And that's what we love about it, I think.
But,
Nathan wants that. He wants his sister as she does. And she's 2 years now has worked for Nathan. And then Derek is getting involved with booking shows for his dad. And then Derek got to caddy for him at the Pro-Am, I think it was the AT&T.
Oh, yeah.
Golf thing. Derek caddied for him. Uh-huh. And my husband got to go. My brother, he took my brother. Mm-hmm. So Nathan really is good about trying to.
We saw your husband open for him at the Ryman.
Yes.
And my husband to this day will be like, I think that was the best part of the
show.
Yes,
yes,
he
yes.
Loved
I know.
It. Yeah.
No, I
the
know.
The bowling ball trick,
he's
you know,
so
all
different.
The things.
He's just different. He's a magician.
Yeah.
So it's something great. And Steve tours with him now. He goes on quite a bit of shows on the road with him.
That is so special.
Which he loves.
What's it like for you to see both of them up there? If your husband does open and then it's Nate.
I don't know. I really don't even. I just look at it and go, is this real? But we're still just us.
Yeah.
We're still just plain old, we're us. We're not changing and. We don't expect to change, and none of our kids are changing, or our grandkids. We still do dumb stuff, and you know.
Are there times when something happens in the family, or something, I don't know, something dumb, or let's say an incident you guys had at the house with mm-hmm. bratwurst in a pan, all of that, which we won't go into. However, when things happen, do you think this is going to end up in a show?
Yes.
This is going to be a part of his routine?
Every time. Every time. Like the koi pond is part of his routine.
Yes.
And that's something they gave me for Mother's Day. And it ended up being a whole big, and everything just ends up being a whole big thing.
You go into the wrong door to pick up Harper recently?
I did. I went to somebody's house.
And you end up just chatting with the
family? With the grandmother. I'm like, hey, I'm here to pick my granddaughter up. And she's like, oh, I have three grandsons. And they're all looking out the door at me. And I'm like, oh, I must have put this address in wrong. And then we're talking and... You know, next thing you know, Nathan's going to get Harper because I didn't go to the right place. And I talked to that lady too long. And it's that kind of, and it happens. I've done it to her. Just recently, I had to pick her up at a Halloween party she'd went to for an hour. And I was sitting in front of the wrong house.
Nate talks about, of course, you know, we love him for his decision and choice to be a clean comedian, mm-hmm. to present shows that we could bring any family member to right. and enjoy. And I love how he says, you know, I'm in my 40s and I'm still worried I'd get in trouble
yes.
for cursing
yes.
with my parents.
Yes.
And I guess from a standpoint of there's got to be something in you that's A, proud of him for the choices yeah. that he has made.
Yes.
Because it's not the norm in the comedic world.
Right.
And
right.
then just the respect that shows to you and your husband.
It really does. He would never want us to go to a show. I mean, he's always will. Like, give me a warning, like, okay, now somebody in this show might not be so, or a show that some comedians follow him, mm-hmm. something on TV, and he'll go, well, don't watch those.
Yeah.
Just because he just doesn't, and he doesn't have a problem with them at all.
Right.
And we would probably be fine. We're not prudes. We just don't, we try not to filter our brains with that, because then you get real, you know, you just don't think that it's even there anymore when it is.
Yeah,
cussing
exactly.
and all that.
Yeah.
And we just never, our kids just weren't raised around it. Not that I'm saying anything about anybody else, mm-hmm. but for our family, we were just in church and we just weren't raised around talking like that. Cause I think it's just a habit.
Yes.
I think it's a habit, just like biting your nails. I bite my nails. So it's a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get out of the habit, it just, you know, people probably don't even know they're doing it.
Right. Right.
You know, so. It's not being judgy at all. It's just how we were. And Nathan
sure.
is he's a Christian that's a clean comedian. He's not a Christian comedian.
Right.
And I think there's a big difference.
I do
with
too.
That.
And I think that also, and when you put it that way, it's his opportunity to reach an even bigger audience though.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to have a positive mm-hmm. impact without mm-hmm. having to use the things that
right.
you and I would call unnecessary.
Right.
Because he calls y'all
yes.
the most Christian of the Christian, right?
Yeah. We're the most Christian of the Christian.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. I mean, but back in the 80s, honestly, it was just, I mean, we just made him, we didn't let him do any, I mean, he couldn't go to the movies. He couldn't go do things his friends were doing. He had to call us. He had to, but that's just what we thought we were doing right. He couldn't watch The Simpsons, which back then Bart Simpson, it had just come out, it seems like, and he was mm-hmm. very disrespectful to his parents and it was on the news. Oh, can you believe the show's on television? And
yeah.
we're like, right. And we always would listen to James Dobson and Focus on the Family and they would always, you know, when we're new parents.
You were the most Christian of
we
the Christian.
We were.
Yeah.
And we were new parents and you just think, well, this, I guess this is the path we want him to take and
yeah
you know train up a child and
exactly
that's
exactly.
just what we did.
It's so funny. I'm the same way. And of course my oldest son that helps film this for me, I'm sure he's thinking back to no Simpsons, no Rugrats, none of the shows of things
none
that
of
I
it.
Thought were disrespectful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that they were necessarily crude or using language or anything, but I'm just like, they're not respectful. Why would we
right.
you know, the whole adage of garbage in, garbage out.
Yes. I told my kids that growing up all
yeah,
the time.
Me
I
too.
Always said it was garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
So you just
why fill our minds with things
yeah.
that yeah. Has there ever been a story he's included that you just would probably prefer if he left it out? And I mean in a good-hearted way, like,
well,
oh, I wish he wouldn't talk about this.
I mean,
but
we fall a lot. We do fall talking. Or our daughter will know I fell, mostly. And then she'll text her brothers and go, hey, Mom fell today.
Uh-huh.
Or, hey, guess what? Dad fell today. And we're not hurt.
Uh-huh.
But it's just that, you know, they're getting old. We
got
to watch them.
A little
they fell today. And my
yeah.
husband has started playing pickleball.
Oh.
Very regular. And twice last week he fell playing pickleball. So I'll tell the kids, I'm like, and we do it as a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, guess what? Dad fell playing pickleball today. And so it gets around. We're on a family text. So it's all on the text.
Uh-huh.
And then all these jokes start flying. And
oh, my goodness.
All that kind of stuff. You know, just the family stuff in
yeah.
between in between all of us.
Some
but
of those types
I'm
of
like,
things.
But he loves it. He loves playing pickleball. So, you know,
yeah.
leave
yeah.
him alone.
But you don't put any parameters around.
No.
Like, don't. Just don't talk about this or let's don't.
No.
Yeah. No.
Because no, it's
you
all,
know better, right?
It's all funny. It's like, you know, if you can make a living off of it, I guess just throw us out there.
Go
I don't
for
know.
It, right?
Yeah, yeah, pays your bills.
Yeah. So you got the phone call through FaceTime because yes. that was really big news that Nate had been yes, asked to be on SNL.
He FaceTimed us. He was in Florida. And I'm like, what is he face on vacation?
Oh.
I'm like, what are you FaceTiming? And he said, I knew something was up because it was him and Laura. And he said, where's Dad? I said, well, Dad's, believe it or not, he's in bed. He said, well, you got to get him. I said, okay. So I took the phone in there and
had no idea what was coming.
No idea. And I said, he said, I'm going to be on SNL. I went, what? And Steve was like, we both were like, what? And I'm like, when? And he said, in 2 weeks.
And I was like, he only found out 2 weeks before.
2 weeks. Oh, and then we were like, are you kidding? And so we were like, no way. And he said, well, don't say anything. Nobody knows anything yet. You can't say a word. I'm going to call Abigail and Derek when I get off here. And so we kept it quiet for almost a week and a half before
until
he came out and announced
it
the week before or a few days before.
Did that just feel like a pinnacle for him as a hardworking
comedian? Yeah, because that's not anything we ever thought about.
And I mean, he was so good.
We were blown away.
Yeah.
We were really blown away.
Did you have any insight of like what he would take from his material to do? What is it? It's close to 9-10 minutes, maybe something like that, that you're preparing for.
Yeah.
Did you have any insight into what he was going to do?
Nothing.
So you didn't know about the dad jokes and the surgery and the.
None of it. Didn't know any of it. I just, you know, I don't go. I stay home. And I get a little nervous still a little bit. I get a little nervous with my husband still after. My husband's done this for 45 years.
Really?
Yeah. And I still,
when you get nervous, do you mean about the road?
No, just about the show. I get a little nervous about the show.
Oh, you do?
A little bit.
You get like a little anxiety, like for them performing?
I think a little bit. I know they're not going to mess up. I know they're not.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. I don't know why I get like that.
Oh, that's
But I do a little bit. Like, you know, I'm a nerve, like a ball game person. Like I'm a wreck watching a football game. It's ridiculous. A football game, I don't even have a dog in the fight.
Really?
And if it's close, I've just always been that way. Growing up, watching sports and I don't know. I just
seeing them on stage and
I'm not wringing my hands, but I kind of anticipate what's going to happen next. And I know kind of what my husband's, he thinks I don't, but I do. I know all of it. He thinks, he'll say, well, you don't know my show. And I'm like, I know all of your show. And I'll always tell him that. And I'll know what's coming up. And I know he's going to do great. And they do better than I anticipate. But I don't just sit there I don't think you can ever get, if you get too tired of it, if you get bored with it, then I don't ever want to get that way.
Exactly.
I want to still get.
There just still needs to be a little bit of an adrenaline rush, right?
Yeah. Every time. Yeah. Bridgestone was, whew.
Were you a nervous wreck for Bridgestone?
I was nervous for Bridgestone just because there's so many people. And we were in a suite. So we sat in a suite. So I'm crazy. And Laura was sitting up there with us. And she said, listen, Carol, when it was over. And I was shocked when he did the phone lights. That's just kind of out of Nathan's character.
Uh-huh.
But I loved it. Well, then he played a song from Sugar. Laura said, Carol, now listen to this next song when he walks off. And he played the song from Sugarland. I'm so broke, it ain't funny.
Oh, yeah. Please, Mom and Dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please send money.
Yeah.
When that came out, and I swear, I think it might have been 20, 15 years ago it came. Well, anyway, I sent that song to Nathan. I said, this is your song. I said, this is your song. Because it was, please send money. I'm so broke, it ain't funny.
Yeah.
And then it ends up, don't send money, I'm so rich.
Right. Well, they turned around.
They played that.
Oh, and that's how he
wouldn't
walked
have heard
off stage
it.
To you?
Yeah, they played the Kenny Chesney song that he always played every day on the road. And then when he walked off stage, Laura said, Carol, I need you to listen. And then when I heard it, oh my gosh, I started crying. Well, this is how I'm so clueless. So there's a suite next to us. And so I was crying. I wasn't bawling, but I was crying. You can tell I was crying.
Emotional.
And so I turned to the suite next to us and I went, that's my son down there. And the guy said, it's nice to meet you. I'm Eric Church. I didn't even know that's who it was.
Oh my goodness.
Because he had sunglasses on and a hat.
Yeah.
Or maybe not a hat. However he usually looks, he didn't.
Okay.
And so I went, oh, yes, I know who you are. I know who you are. I'm sorry. I said, but that was my son down there. And that just got me tearing up. And he said, oh, I know him. I've met him and I know him. And I said, well, thanks for coming. And, you know, so it was just, see,
that's pretty special though. Does it blow your mind that? Some of the people he keeps company with now?
Oh, it's crazy.
You play golf with or all the things.
And like last night we got, I was over there. I took something over to the house and was sitting there talking to Laura. And I said, oh, hey, he was upstairs. I'm like, hey, what you been doing? He said, I've been on the phone with Seinfeld.
Stop it.
And I'm like, you're crazy.
Those are his heroes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We bought tickets. We got to talking about how we took all of our kids and him and Laura to see him. I mean, 20 plus years ago. And we were on the second balcony on the front row and we were talking about the tickets. I said, that was a lot because we bought everybody's ticket.
Yeah.
And I think they were $40, maybe $40.
Big sacrifice at that time, right?
And Steve must have had a show. We did everything based on Steve's magic shows. So, depending
on, if you made money from a show,
yes,
you could turn around.
We got to go do something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then we would have a really good Christmas because, Dad had a good, really good December.
Truly paycheck to paycheck.
Yes. And one year we took them to Kings Island and they could buy, and we were very particular when we used to take them. That used to be our big vacation. Mm-hmm. And we would go, but you had to share a drink and three kids sharing a drink and you had to share, we shared food. We shared, you know, we weren't like dirt poor, but we weren't extravagant money either. We just were just middle class, not even upper. We were just middle class people. Yeah. Never thought a thing about it. And we had, Steve had a really good show or good several shows. So we took them to Kings Island. They could spend anything they wanted. They could get whatever they wanted. They could buy any souvenir they wanted. They could buy any food they wanted. We said no to nothing.
Wow.
And it was so fun. But you can't do that often.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So it was a lot of fun. Exactly.
When you think about his journey and his path, and I know even, you know, in when I think about like Connor's situation, like one of his goals is to be able to play the Ryman in, you know, that size venue, which isn't the largest, but it's the coolest,
yes,
you know.
Yes,
so you think about all of these goals that they set. Mm-hmm. And so that first time he sold out the Ryman and then the next venue and the next venue. And then this past year, Bridgestone.
Yes.
Not only did he sell it out, but they brought in extra seats to make sure it was the most sold out, right?
Right, right, because that's what I did in the round.
Yeah.
Because music, a lot of things you can't do in the round. You have to have your whatever back there.
Yeah.
And it was hard for my husband. It's not easy to do magic in the round.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, because he really need to make sure your angles are right when you're doing magic.
I remember Nathan telling me that we're going to try to get Bridgestone in 2023.
Wow.
Like in 2021. And I went, that from your lips to God's ears.
Yeah.
You know,
is there a part of you as mom that's like, oh, I don't know if you could be able to sell that out. That's really big. Or are you just like,
I'm just like, that's a lot of people, but you've done everything you were going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to tell you can't do it because you've done everything you were going to do. He's done all of it.
Right.
Everything he said. I mean, he has a vision. He has dreams and hopes. And Nathan is a dreamer and Nathan dreams very big, but he's meeting all those.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe the sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. Might happen.
Right. Or they just weren't meant to be.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. We're all okay with that. I'm like, I don't know. Television's not, and if you're thinking it's on just regular television now, I mean, I don't know. People stream everything.
Yeah,
now.
No, nowadays.
So you just don't know if it would even be, you know, but God knows. And I've told him, I said, you know, Nathan, and I told him recently, I said, everything goes through God's hands before it gets to you.
Mm.
I said, he's already seen it. Yep. So don't be down if this didn't happen or if that didn't happen, because it's all already gone through God's hands. So it's whatever gets to you, he's seen it and he knows.
Whatever
he knows
gets to you is supposed to.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to always tell him that. And I said, just always, and we've always said, you just stay you. Mm. Always be you. And I got him a little sign one time that said, just never forget where you came from. Mm.
And I love that. And he's done that.
He really has. Yeah. We're like, just don't ever forget where he came from. He hasn't. He's never you know, I remember in high school, Nathan was coming home king. And like 2 weeks before, he's like, oh, Mom, yeah, I got nominated for coming home king.
Is that the same as homecoming king?
It is, but it's called coming home.
Okay.
I don't know why for guys.
Okay.
They become the king.
Gotcha.
In basketball season. And I'm like, well, kind of, you know, he told me two boys. You know, boys don't tell you anything. So 2 weeks before,
amen. Yeah,
I'm like, well, I've got to lose 25 pounds and find something to wear in 2 weeks. Are you crazy? But he did. And so they called John Birdie, who's one of the coaches over there. So he was doing the announcing as we walked out, mm-hmm. and he's announcing. So Nathan wrote whatever. Yeah. And so John Birdie's going, Nathan loves long walks on the beach. And I'm just like, and reading books. And I remember looking at Nathan, are you kidding? I don't even think we've ever been to the beach. And I don't think you've ever read a book. He was a senior in high school. I'm like, what did you tell him to say? And I remember laughing. Well, then he won. And I was like, well, that's crazy. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And I remember when it was over, we walked out of the gym, the game was over, and little kids were running up to him because he had on this crown. Mm-hmm. And he stopped and talked to every little kid. That has always stuck in my head. He never thought he was big man on camp. Not that you would think that, but yeah. You know, you're a senior and you just got this crazy thing.
Yeah.
But he stopped and talked to every little kid. All these little elementary school kids mm-hmm. were running up to him and talking yeah. to him, and he just acknowledged all of them.
And now when you think about that with fans.
I think about that
yeah,
now.
And the way he interacts mm-hmm. with people and, yeah. and with fans and I think of about his that. Comedy.
Yeah, and I think we've raised all of our kids. Just always remember the little guy. Always remember the kid that wasn't supposed to make it. Always remember the underdog. Mm-hmm. Always just, I was raised, I think, to do that. My husband was raised to do that. My husband was the underdog all the time growing up. Just he had a speech impediment and he never, you know, he wasn't smart. He was smart. He never thought he was smart. Mm-hmm. And he just always was kind of the underdog, and he always worked hard and, you know, God rewarded him for all that. And that's what God's done with Nathan. It's what he's done with Derek. Especially, and what he's done with Abigail, especially, you know, Abigail's a young single mom, a teen mom, and wow, she did great things. Bought a first house at 22, went to college, became an X-ray tech.
Wow,
that's where she was working at the VA with veterans. I mean, we wouldn't yeah. have wanted anything more than that. Nathan always said that Derek has been a missionary, got involved in it at Trevecca when he was in college, and he wanted to quit college as a freshman, and we're like, we don't want you quitting college. And he didn't. He wanted to go into the mission field, but he respected us and stayed in school. And he wow. did not want to do that,
yeah.
but he did it. And he did it 4 years. I said, well, you got to do it in 4 years because he was an RA and had a little bit of a, money to go to college. And his uh-huh. wife was a full ride in college. So they did those things for us and to respect us. And Abigail did those things for us and to respect us. So, our kids have always been very respectful of us and acknowledged everything we've asked them to do, even when it's not what they wanted to do. And they didn't have to do it because they were grown and they could have picked and choose what they wanted, but they always acknowledged things that we wanted them to do.
Right.
Not that they did it maybe because of us, but also, you know, God led them that way too. But mm-hmm. They've all been great that way. Nathan always said when he first started, he said, nobody has to come watch me do this. I can be gone tomorrow because I don't affect anybody's life. I don't affect a life like my brother does. And it'll make me cry. Mm. And I don't affect like my sister. He's always known that.
Yeah. So. He is impacting a lot of people because if there's anything yeah. we need in this day and age, it's a little bit of humor yeah. and happiness.
And the that's stories certainly what that Abigail hears and the stories I hear. I mean, most recently we met a lady. We were in New York for Rockville Center, and we went to a play, and it was Laura and Harper and me and Laura's sisters and her cousin, and we all just were sitting in our bought seat that we bought to go to the matinee, and there was a lady and a man sitting in the back row behind us, and Laura's cousin started talking to her, and she said, her name's Amy, and the lady we met, and Laura's cousin Candace started talking to her, and Amy said, oh, well, we're just here killing time because we're going to see a comedian tonight at Rockville Center. And Candace said, oh, really? Who is it? Knowing who it was. She said, oh, it's Nate Margetsi. And she said, well, you're not going to believe this is his mother and his wife and his daughter sitting in front of me. Well, the play hadn't started, so Candace introduced her to us. And she said Nate had done a lot in the past year to help her. She gets up and watches podcasts in the middle of the night. Which she had a loss in this past year, mm-hmm. and it's what got her through it.
Wow.
Listening to his podcast, and she wanted to come to a show.
Oh.
And so I asked Laura during a break or something, I said, could we get her backstage after? Could she go meet Nathan? Mm-hmm. And Laura said, of course, this is what you do it
yes,
for.
Yes, it's the why.
And so yeah. when it was over, I said, but you want to go backstage and meet Nathan tonight? And my husband will open for him, and you can meet him too. And she just fell apart. She couldn't believe it.
Oh.
And so I didn't go to the show that night, but it was, her name's Amy Radke, and she came. Her and her husband got to go backstage and meet Nathan. And not that that takes away all your troubles, but if it's, you know, if you can meet somebody maybe that has given you a little positive in your life, then.
Right. And I think it's one of the best parts as moms is seeing those moments of seeing, you know, how kind Connor is to his fans or when he gets to go the extra mile to help someone or talk to someone that may not have expected that or something. It's one of the most rewarding parts of the success
it's all for
God has brought his way.
And, you know, you just you raise your kids thinking, oh, I hope, you know, when you send them off when they're little to school, oh, I hope they make a friend.
Yeah.
I hope, I just want them to make a friend.
Yeah.
Please just have a friend. You're thinking, did I raise them where people will like them, where they'll be friendly to people?
Because
you see so many kids that aren't nice now, and you just want them to all be friendly. And, you know, Abigail changed schools in the sixth grade, and I'll never forget, she kind of had a traumatic thing as a middle schooler. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
And a daughter, girls are just very
it's
nice.
It's a hard age.
And we moved her, and I'll never forget, she called me at work, and I said, well, how was your first day? Did you make a friend? She said, only about a million. And I will never forget that. And that's all you ever want is for your kids to have friends and to be friendly to people.
Yes, yes.
In the big scheme, in anything they do. I don't care what they do. They're a truck driver. Just be nice to people.
Exactly.
How hard, how hard can that be? And if I think as a parent, if you've got kids that are nice to people and friendly and help people, then you've, in whatever path your kids take.
You've done a good job.
Yeah, that's you don't have to be on stage.
What would you say Nate got from his mama?
I really want to say a little bit of humor.
I'm going to guess that for sure.
So, and you know, empathy and kindness and helping people.
Yeah.
I think he's seen that growing up with my husband too. I mean, my husband's very well respected in all communities, but in the magic community, a lot of people. Steve takes a lot of, has through the years, young magicians. Like 12 or 13 year old kids that might come to a magic meeting or come to a convention, which are big deals.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And Steve will take them in and just, you know, try to help them or give them a little bit of magic or, you know, he'll take time to help anybody do anything like that. So I think he's gotten that from us both.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a hard, I want to say, you know, you don't know. You kind of look at your kids. You're like, I don't know. Where'd you, how did you turn out like this?
Exactly.
We think that sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you get to be a part of a family that spreads a whole lot of joy.
Well,
so that's pretty awesome.
We're very blessed to do that. So, and we love it. It's a crazy life for them. It's, I don't know how crazy it is for us, but it's getting, we tell you that all the time. It's been our little tagline. It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. Now even more so. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining
me. Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, I know you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Carol is fantastic. And if you haven't seen the televised specials that we talked about, there's some on Netflix, one on Amazon. Be sure you go watch them. Also, if you ever get a chance to see Nate live, it is seriously the most fun family night out. I highly recommend it. Don't forget, you can watch the Got It From My Mama podcast on YouTube. And be sure to subscribe so you do not miss an episode. We will be back next week with a brand new guest. Have a great week, everybody.